are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I invite you to journey with me to a new day. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. So join thousands of women and men from around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Coffee with Kim. Today, we're talking about what the world is talking about, the coronavirus. But I hope you will leave today's show with a renewed hope and inspired with practical things that we can do. Let's lessen the panic and continue to live purposed, to stay healthy and engaged, and fulfilling God's plan for our very lives. Hello, everyone, again, and this is Kim Crable. This is your host. Welcome to Coffee with Kim. Remember, coffee stands for Conversations of Friends of Faith to Encourage and Equip, and I think we need some encouragement today. And as God would have it, we have the perfect guest to answer so many of our concerns that we're facing this moment in our lives. A fitness professional with 15 years of experience, Maggie Winsler is here to help us see what we can do during these troubled times. With a BS in exercise psychology, a master's in sports management from Georgetown University, we can be assured that what she has to say and what she has to offer is exactly what we need to hear today. So it is my honor and my pleasure to welcome from Washington, D.C., or thereabouts, she can tell us for sure, is our fitness expert today to help guide us through some troubled times, Maggie Winsler. Maggie, welcome so much to the show today, and wow, how timely it is to have you.
Thank you so much, Kim. I'm really honored to be here, and my hope for this message this morning is just that we can gather together as people from all across the globe and find some common ground and how to get through this in these challenging times and create some routines that will help our bodies and minds stay strong and dedicated to God through all of this.
Boy, do we need that now. We are living in a world that's a little panicked, and I can certainly understand that. And if I didn't have my faith to stand on, I'm not sure about how far down the spiral would go, but we have that hope in us. And I believe, Maggie, that it all begins with focus. And we're going to talk about focus in a minute because in your paperwork, I saw where you described a time in your life where you lost focus a bit, and that's what brought you back to who you really were and what you're doing now. But before we get into that, let's talk a minute about Maggie. Let's let the audience get to know you a little bit more. So you have your BS from in exercise psychology from University of Maryland, and then your master's. What is it about the fitness industry that you love so much? What drew you to that?
Yeah, so I have to make one little small correction. So it's an exercise physiology from the University of Virginia is what I studied. So as much as I'd like to boast that I have the training in psychology, I don't. Certainly I've worked a lot with people's mind-body connection, but I just want to make sure people are clear
Thank
on
you.
That. So I'm definitely a movement expert. I studied kinesiology and concentrated in exercise physiology, and the honest truth about how I got started into that was all because of my faith, actually. I would go out on runs in high school and in college. I was pre-law at the time, and I would go out on these runs, and I would just find that they were extremely cathartic, and this was long before like the iPod shuffles and all of the old gadgets that we used to have before iPhones. It was before we even had those to exercise with. So I was with nothing, you know, this was old school, right? I was with nothing but myself, my breath, nature, the road that I was running on, and ultimately God. And so it became very meditative for me and allowed me to calm just some natural restless energy and anxiety that I was dealing with. And it just made me inspired to want to help other people feel that feeling, because it's really incredible what exercise does for our bodies, for our hormones, you know, and it just was really awe-inspiring to me that God gave us this gift of movement that helps us stay healthy, both physically and mentally. And I wanted to share that in some way, shape, or form with as many people as I could. And of course, that mission and vision kind of like changed shape and course over time, but that's kind of this direction that my ship has always been sailing in, even though it's taken some twists and turns through the years.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that, you know, sometimes just having that road before you, that's what I love to do. I love to run. But now I see that as I'm getting a little bit older, that maybe running is not, you know, the healthiest thing. And that's what I want to talk about today. Because, you know, are you seeing where you are you seeing a lot of stress and fear and trepidations? Are you seeing that on the rise in your world like we're seeing it in our world, Maggie?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm 100%. I mean, I'm in that boat too. You know, I think even as leaders and, you know, people who are really dedicated to our respective industries and are trying to keep them moving through this tricky time. I mean, we're all people, you know, none of us is Christ and none of us are, even Christ had fears a couple of times, you know, like we're human. That's part of the human nature and experiences it. We are bound together in our strength and we're bound together in our fears too. And that affects every single industry out there. And particularly with gyms, I think a lot of gyms have doubled down on their cleaning and sanitation efforts, which is a really costly thing for a lot of these facilities. But then, you know, at a certain point, a lot of them are giving up that effort and just closing their doors too. And that's a big outlet for a lot of people. You know, they think, well, gosh, if I can't get to the gym or I can't get to my regular exercise class, what am I going to do? So certainly that's an element to all of this, whether it's the gym or going out for coffee on every Friday morning with your friends or, you know, anything else that you find pleasurable and that helps you just kind of get through your work week or get through your day. You know, all of those routines are being disrupted. And when our lives get turned upside down like that, we lose a sense of control. And that shows us really that once again, that God is the only one in control here. And that's a hard thing for all of us to wrestle with in the face of uncertainty, creating so much fear.
Absolutely. And as I was speaking to a group last week, I said, you know, even on good days, we tend to live with this false sense of security anyway, because at any moment, any time, our lives can be disrupted with a phone call that we weren't expecting or a diagnosis. So really that sense of security so much is false anyway. But one of the things that you and I talked about as we were coming on that I really want our listeners to hear today, and this is really how the rest of the show is going to go. You know, Philippians 2:15 says that we can become the children of God who are like shining stars among the darkness. And you had said, and I love this, you heard or read somewhere, this is our time to shine. And I believe that so much because we are in a, you know, and I guess you could explain it as a dark place in our world. I mean, many people, I mean, we're losing so many jobs. People are wondering about how they're going to handle the situation with their kids at home. The gyms are closing. The workplaces are closing. All of this social distancing is happening. So we're living in this new reality. And then if you turn on the TV, the fears and trepidation, just you begin to drown in it. So in the midst of all that darkness, Maggie, let's you and I talk today about how we can break through that and be shining stars. And I know the first thing that we must do, according to what Scripture says, is understand that we are the children of God and that because of that, we do have His hope within us. But with that being said, that is the priority. With that being said, we must align our lives to some practical practices, to really be able to live healthy and to have a healthy mind, body, and soul. And that's what you have a blog, I think, that you call Wellness Wins, right? And you talk about a lot of this. So let's go into some of the things that we would begin starting off with on how to be shine like a light in the midst of this darkness. So let's go, Maggie. What would be the first thing that you would suggest to us as listeners?
Absolutely. So I think for starters, you know, as people of faith, I think the number one thing that we need to do is turn to God. And I really appreciate the timeliness of an old friend of mine, Sarah Hagerty. She's on the verge of releasing her third book. The first one is Every Bitter Thing is Sweet. The second one is Unseen. And now this one is called Adore. And she is in, you know, getting ready to release this book, all her Christian books. And she makes the point through adoration that we have to turn to God. Daily adoration is turning to God with our raw emotions and giving them to Him, not going through some kind of scripted prayer or what we think we should say, but really turning to Him with all of our raw emotions and who we are, our fears, our uncertainties, our grief, all of that, our hopes, everything, and giving it over to Him and letting Him be in control of those, and just seeing sort of the power of what we can discover about God's nature when we relinquish all of that to Him. So I think that, you know, for sure the number one thing that we have to do, and I've been pushing myself to do that throughout the day, not necessarily only first thing in the morning or at bedtime, but at those moments when you're feeling frustrated because you just watched the TV and, you know, it's like the millionth thing you've heard about the coronavirus in the day, and you felt like you're keeping your anxiety down, but then that last news briefing just hits you over the edge. And instead of spiraling with that, which is really easy, and I've been there too, you know, taking a pause and in the middle of that experience, turning to God and speaking to Him about what's in your heart at that time, because He's really the only one who can understand all of this and who can empathize with our human situation, and He knows those fears already.
Absolutely.
So I think it's absolutely powerful when we vocalize them.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'll put a scripture to that as well, too, Maggie. It's 1 Peter 5:7. I love it. It says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. That sounds like a verse that goes really, really well with what you've just described, because I do believe, well, you're a mom, so you know what it's like when your children run to you with their hurts and their pains and their fears. And there's nothing like it when they really need you that way. And don't you think that that's the same way God feels when we turn to Him, that He looks with such delight that we trust Him?
Absolutely. And something that I don't know if you know about, Kim, but, you know, obviously our listeners don't know, so I'll share it right now, is that I have a very real experience with the fear that comes from having a child that is sick. My oldest son, when he was 15 months old, was in the pediatric intensive care unit for several days, very unexpectedly and suddenly, because he had bronchiolitis. And I've literally been there in terms of what some of the people out there are facing, obviously with a different virus, but seeing somebody struggling to breathe, supporting them through that, being worried for their life. This is like, it's really heart-wrenching stuff, and I would not have gotten through that experience and staying awake for 3 straight nights with a baby needing constant monitoring and help. You know, I wouldn't have gotten through that without the power of prayer. And in that moment, as much as I wanted to be strong for my son, it's those moments of vulnerability as a human, as a mom, as a person, that really make me step back and say, I can't do this. I literally can't do this by myself. I need you, God. He might be my child, but I'm yours and He is yours. So you've got to be the one to get us through this, because it's just not something we were made to do alone.
Absolutely. And I thank you so much for that vulnerability. And for our listeners out there, I think it's so important that we come to the place to where we recognize that the way we're feeling is okay. You know, that we don't have to hide our fears. We don't have to hide, you know, let's just confront and be okay with how we're feeling and take that to God, because that's the rawness that you're talking about, and that's the emotion. And, you know, for our listeners today, and, you know, Maggie, I just feel like I know hundreds of people are listening today because they were saying, I can't wait to hear this show and to bring the comfort and the calm back. You know, I just to be okay with where you are and not to feel shame because you're feeling a little anxiety. Let's just deal with that. And I love what you said, Maggie, that you don't just say a prayer in the morning and hope that it lasts you till the evening, that you're practicing the scripture, which says pray without ceasing, that you carry that with you. And many times, I think, just like you said, it happens to all of us. We're all going to hear something. We all have loved ones, and or we're within ourselves, and we start to see the numbers, and we start to hear the projections, and you know, I have to right then do the cast off. You know, I have to cast it on to God and say, this is bigger than what I can carry, but it's not too big for him. I love the scripture of John 16:33, where Jesus himself says, in this world, you will have trials and tribulations. But then he goes on to say, but take heart, for I have overcome it. So we will get through this. Let's just get through it healthier and stronger than before. Okay, Maggie, this is great. The first, you just touched so relevantly and so real on the faith base. What would be your next step? I know with this social distancing, that's going to, I know the statistics on depression that isolation can bring, but it's not really isolation in the world that we live today, is it? So let's talk about the social distancing a bit and what we can do to stay connected with people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I love about fitness, I love the feeling, and I think a lot of people do who enjoy working out or running. I love the feeling of being in an exercise studio with 30 or 40 other people, and we're all doing the same moves, and we're all sweating together, and we're all breathing and laboring through it, and it's just kind of this empowering, beautiful thing, or to be going through a yoga flow sequence side by side, or to be running in a race and seeing all of these people with their hearts set on the same mission, pushing their bodies. And so I think that there's a lot of passion out there for that within the fitness industry. And we don't, although it's a lot harder to create those same kinds of feelings through technology as opposed to face-to-face, we are in a very unique position in the time of human history where we do have the potential to connect quite a lot. And there are so many virtual fitness classes and resources that are already there and already available and probably untapped for a lot of people. So for starters, like a lot of gyms are going online, so you could check their Facebook pages. But you can also tune into a lot of these different types of resources, which I can go into more detail on. But I think that the essential message here is that, you know, prayer and turning your emotions over to God would be my first suggestion. But then secondly, sort of putting on the armor of God. You know, the scriptures talk about that a lot. And what is the armor of God? Well, it can mean a lot of things, I think. But one of the versions of the armor of God is the physical resilience and health of our bodies. And our bodies are made to fight. Our bodies are made to get through things. And they are just so incredibly capable of healing. They are capable of so much more than we give them credit for. And when we can rely on that truth and lean into that, I think that we can start to get a little bit more, get our feet back under us a little bit and say, okay, I might be stuck in my home. I might only have one set of dumbbells, but I can do something about this. Like, let's fight. Let's go to battle with this thing. Let's lean into God and the strength that he's given us through our physical bodies, and let's keep them healthy. Let's keep them in fighting shape, because not only does it help your physical resilience and exercise can boost your immunity to pathogens and whatnot, but it also is a wonderful thing that very directly impacts your mental health. So that's number two, is like putting on the armor of God in terms of what are the things that you can do for your body? What are the healthy meals you can cook for your family? What are the vegetables that you can find that are left over in the produce section? You know, what frozen vegetables are a great thing to have on hand right now in case of any shortages. So what are the things that you can do that are a matter of fueling your body through exercise and healthy nutrition and getting good rest and being with whatever loved ones you can, either in the space of your home or virtually supporting one another.
I like what I love the way you're talking about. It's because on the TV and the news that we're hearing, it's all about what we shouldn't be doing. And you're shifting our mind. You're shifting the mind of the audience. So let's think about the things that we can do. And that automatically gives hope and is inspiring. It's like, well, wait a minute. You just rattled off five or six things. I'm writing them down as quickly as I can, the things that we can do. And it's that shift in focus that really stops the spiral down, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you'd like, I can take a couple minutes to run through some really specific things that we all have access to, if you'd like me to, with regards to fitness resources right now.
I would love for you to do that. And I know our audience. So audience, we're giving you just a minute here to grab your pen and get your paper. And I also want you to know that this will go in podcast later because this is great information. So I think, okay, I have my pen and paper, Maggie, so let's go.
All right. So as I said, there are a lot of gyms that are going online. This is actually even happening for my 4-year-old's little bit like toddler gym, believe it or not. And they're actually offering free classes every day on Facebook at 4:15, which is perfect because for me that's after nap time. I can throw him in front of the TV and he can get some exercise out. So if children's gyms are doing things like this, then certainly check whatever gym you go to. If you do go to a brick and mortar gym, check their Facebook page, email the fitness manager, whatever it takes to see what are their plans. You know, there is going to be a plan because businesses can't afford to lose their members right now. They can't afford for everybody to fall off and cancel membership. So stay engaged with whatever fitness community you're already engaged with. Check all of their social media pages and find out what is their plan, what kind of offering are they making for you, because a lot of fitness facilities are figuring that out right now. There are certain virtual classes that are virtual streaming services that are being offered to organizations for free right now, so they're probably just trying to get used to that. So even if you haven't seen anything yet, don't lose hope. Tune back into it and see what your gym or fitness community is doing, because I almost guarantee you that they're doing something, which is great. Also, there are already a ton of virtual applications out there, virtual apps. You don't just have to own a Peloton or a mirror or something like that. You don't have to just own a device in order to participate in certain virtual classes. Although if you do have a Peloton or a mirror, this is certainly a great time to enjoy those classes and stay in the routine with that. But, you know, Nike has an app. I think ClassPass has an app. There's an app called Daily Burn. There is a new fitness live streaming option called OBI. This is like a brand new thing, which is so timely. I just heard about this a week ago. It's OBE, and it offers live fitness classes from the comfort of your home, and they're 28 minutes long and cover lots of different things, even things for women who are expecting, so prenatal classes all the way through HIIT classes, yoga, strength training, you name it. So there are some great resources out there. And if none of those sound appealing or familiar or interesting, you can just start tapping into your app store, what kind of fitness class you're looking for. If you really want to find a bar class or a Pilates class, there are so many apps out there. A lot of them are for free. And the ones that aren't for free are, I think, pretty affordable given the fact that we need these services to keep us sane and to help us get out that restless energy while we're stuck in one place. So those are all options.
I'm going to ask you a question right now. I feel like So in thinking about all these, what is the difference? How do I know what is age appropriate for me? If we have someone who's listening that's, you know, early 20s, and then we have those that, you know, are 60 or plus. I mean, how do we navigate them to the right place?
Yeah, that's actually a really great question, and it's a little tricky to answer because I would say that a lot of these classes are usually meant for younger. They tend to be targeted towards a slightly younger crowd. But that being said, I would go with if any of them offer tiers, okay, and you're less familiar with certain fitness disciplines, then go for the beginner ones and go for the ones that are low impact. So I would not suggest like high intensity interval training for an older population, because that's going to be high impact and jumping, and it's not going to feel very good and it might turn you off. But a nice thing to start with might be an introduction to strength training class, or just a 15-minute core workout. And if something to think about, and this is one of the things I was going to mention, is that if you are in a population where you're concerned about these classes, even if you test them out, for starters, a lot of these places have free trials within the first 30 days, so you can get a sense of whether it's for you or not, and then cancel before you get charged on a monthly basis if it's one that charges. But something that you can do is reach out to professionals online. Just start doing some basic searches online for virtual consultations. I offer them. Other fitness professionals offer them. And you can get with somebody, a real professional who will talk to you in real time and who can give you some exercise suggestions directly, so that if you have hypertension or if you have a frozen shoulder or if you have hernias or any number of different things, a twisted ankle, or you have osteoporosis, these professionals can get with you one-on-one and give you more specific advice so that you stay really safe in doing exercises and finding the exact right fit for you and what you need in order to feel your best and also not get injured in the process.
This is such good information. Maggie, we're going to have to take a 30-second break really quickly, and that'll give everyone time just to kind of finish up these notes that you've given them so far. You know, this is such valid. Listeners, you know, this is so valid for us to really wrap our brains around right now, because even in the past, I think that when maybe we were choosing not to exercise the way we should, or maybe we were kept thinking, well, we're going to start one day or whatever. Now it's almost the mindset is we're being told that we can't. You know, that throws us in a whole different mindset. That's where the depression comes in, and that's where the downward spiral begins. As long as we have the hope of knowing we can when we choose to, then it's almost like the field's wide open. But when we get to the point to where we're thinking, oh my gosh, it's too late, I should have been going, then we start bringing on the regret and the shame and the guilt. But let's not go there today. Let's continue listening when we get back to Maggie with all the things that we can do. Let's be the stars that shine as children of God that can really help those around us see all the great potential that still rests in each and every one of our days. So, Maggie, gosh, thank you so much. Let's hold on for 30 seconds, and then we'll be right back to finish this conversation. See you back.
Great.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Coffee with Kim. We're having a very special edition today. We're talking about the coronavirus. We're talking about all the positives and all the things that we can do to continue on, to not live panic, but to continue living purpose with health and staying engaged in our environment as in a, maybe a different way. Before we get back to today's guest, our fitness professional, Maggie Winsler, I'd like to remind you to stay connected with us daily on Facebook at facebook.com/rosesandrainbows. Also, you can visit our website at kimcrable.org. We have a morning live every morning at 9 o'clock. So come in, join us, join the national group of friends who do meet to have
conversations just like you're listening today with Maggie, conversations to encourage and equip each one of us in our daily walks. We are currently scheduling 2020 and 2021 Burdens to Blessings Tour. I'd love to bring this transformational message to your city. Our calendar is mostly filled up for 2020, but we'd like to come in 2021, and you can find out all the information by emailing Karen at kimcrable.org. Do you know that you can watch the Burdens to Blessings series on TV now? That's right, on NRB TV, Up to Me TV, different Inspiration TV. You can watch the 8 weeks series where I do the teaching on the Burdens to Blessings. Also, we have a new TV talk show called Coffee with Kim where we bring on different stories and testimonies to inspire and encourage. So check out your local listing for many of those shows. We'd love to have you in the audience. Want to remind you that Coffee with Kim is an entirely listener-supported radio. If you'd like to be a part of this, you can simply go to kimcrable.org and click on support. Well, thank you again, Maggie, so much for joining us. You are showing the intensity of your education in this field of fitness, and boy, do we need it right now. You did say that you do personal consulting, so please, before we end the show today, let's give our listeners a way that they can reach out to you, because I know that many will want to do that. And I also already know that I'd love to have you back to even maybe even with the TV to where we can actually get you in front of the camera and showing some of these things that you're talking about. That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm all for live demonstrations. It's a lot easier to show than talk when it comes to movement.
Absolutely. Okay, so when we were talking about some of the practical ways that we could deal with the negative that's coming at us, you began by saying faith, which is great, too. We were talking about the social distancing and the exercise that comes involved. Maggie, tell us. You know, I know that a lot of people maybe are sitting there thinking, well, you know, I've never been great at exercise anyway. I don't know why I should start now. Tell us why. Tell us why it's so important that during this time, why it's so important for us to move now more than maybe any other time in our lives.
Absolutely. Exercise boosts our immune systems. It is one of God's great gifts to us and a natural form of medicine. Just even one single exercise session has the power to both lift our mood and bolster our immune systems. So that's first and foremost. And, you know, using that as a way to have an outlet, a physical and mental outlet and reprieve on days when we feel like we're stuck and there's nowhere to go, we're confined to our homes and we need to create routines. And one of the best ways to create a routine involves exercise because it can boost your mood and confidence so much and kind of keep the morale going. I have a friend who, on a side note, she was on bed rest and in her pregnancy for 4 whole months. And I had so much respect for her because she leaned into her faith and she also made sure that even if she couldn't move from a bed all day long, which is a lot harder than being stuck in our homes for the record, right? She made sure that she had a routine. She had little arm weights that she was able to use. She segmented her day and made sure that each hour she had a rough plan of something different that would stimulate her and make her feel like she had purpose so that she wasn't just sitting there wallowing in the defeated feelings that could most certainly come with being on bed rest for that long and the fear of what could happen. So I really want to, you know, encourage us all to take a page from that book and think about how a situation like hers can apply to so many hundreds of thousands of us right now, creating routines, not just with exercise, but with lots of things so that we can, you know, provide some structure and encouragement and a sense of normalcy to get through a really tough time.
You know, everything that you just said reminds me, you know, that is so good for our friends who are wheelchair bound right now.
Yeah.
Our director that you've met, Sandy, is wheelchair bound most of the time. So you're speaking right to her, and what she's so good about doing this. That's how she keeps her such a positive outlook on life. We have many people in nursing homes, many disabled that are listening right now. So that is great, great hope for those.
Absolutely.
I saw, and I don't know if this is true or not, you can tell me, where I keep hearing that the sitting still is the new smoking. Is that true, that it causes that much damage?
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great.
Yeah.
For us, that's for sure. A lot of things happen when we sit still for a long period of time. Not only does it start to slow down our metabolisms, which has all sorts of impacts on our health and the regulation of blood sugar and all of that, but it makes our heart less healthy, but it also can lead to a slow loss of muscle mass and then bone mass in the parts of our bodies that we need to have be strong and which also support our metabolisms and whatnot. It also creates a lot of pressure on our spines. So if you have low back discomfort or if you have sciatic pain, sitting with your feet in front of you at a desk position, let's say, which is what a lot of us are, how a lot of us are sitting throughout every single day. That's actually the most amount of pressure on your spine compared to standing up straight and lying down flat. So it's important that we, if we're able, that we get up and we move around and we give our spines a little bit of a break and opportunity to stay flexible. It also creates a lot of tightness in our hip flexors and our hamstrings. So, yeah, I would say that all of those factors and many more that I could go on and on about, but I'll stop myself. I think all of those factors definitely point to it being a pretty unhealthy thing for our bodies and a reason to motivate ourselves to get moving and to give our bodies a little break. Stretch out those hip flexors, stretch out the hamstrings if you can, give your back a break, lie down flat, or take a gentle walk outside, get some sunshine. Vitamin D, I think, is going to be really important for everybody. So in parts of the world that it is turning into warmer weather in spring, I think that's such a blessing. And in areas where it's not, even just a little sunshine on your face with a winter coat on is going to do you wonders.
Absolutely.
Right now if you go somewhere that's not super congested with a lot of people.
Absolutely. Maggie, we've had before the show, I told our audience that I was not going to be able to take calls today because I'm practicing the social distancing. I do think it's so important that while we are doing all that we're supposed to be doing, I do believe that it's time to really listen to what our government is saying and really try to adhere to some of these policies. And so my assistant isn't here, so we don't have any way to take the calls. So I did ask some people to, what would be their questions to you? And a few did come in advance. Is it okay if I send some of these questions your way to answer?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, from one of the callers, she's a little bit over 60, and she says that her body seems to be feeling more stiff, a little stiffer now. Mm-hmm. And she was wondering, she's somewhat active, I think, but she says, what would be are there some normal everyday things that we can do just to keep our bodies more fluid and not feeling so stiff?
Yeah, absolutely. So many things. I think just the normal movement, in the fitness world, we call this NEAT, N-E-A-T, it means non-exercise activity thermogenesis. So how about that for a mouthful, right? And basically, this just means that NEAT movements are things that we do throughout the day, every day, that aren't necessarily exercise, but that keep our bodies active and keep our bodies limber. So be that, standing up for an hour in the kitchen to cook dinner and moving back and forth to do that, be it going on a gentle walk or taking care of your dog, getting outside. There's a lot that what you could say about if you're physically capable, there's a lot to be said for weeding and gardening right now and the yard work that could be tackled right now while we're all stuck at our homes anyway, for those who have a property with a yard. Anything like that that just kind of keeps you moving and engaged physically through the day is wonderful. Also, a lot of people tend to think, oh, I'm stiff, so I should stretch. Naturally, that's the first thing we think of. But oftentimes, the stiffness comes from muscles that are not very stable. And so one of the best things that we can do to help relieve stiffness is to find age and fitness level appropriate ways to do strength training. And just even a few exercises, I'll rattle a few off as an example for anybody who might know what these actually are, but I'll cap it, I promise. But if you can do hip bridges, that's like lying on your back with your feet flat on the ground, lifting your hips up and squeezing in your rear end to keep those glute muscles really strong and tight. That can do tremendous things for relieving a stiff lower back, tight hip flexors, and leg discomfort. That can do a ton for us, and that's a strength training exercise, not a stretch. Same thing for even just balancing on one leg and forcing the muscles in your body to feel a little shaky and unstable and figure out how to keep you balancing. That's a really great, what we call isometric exercise that you can do that's low impact, that really just gets those muscles firing and forces them to say, okay, we feel the instability and now we have to figure out how to stabilize and work against that. That can actually do a lot for feeling stiffness, just balancing, very simple balancing exercises. So those are a couple ideas.
That's great. Well, let me ask you this. Another question came in. It said, for my heart, is walking best? Now, this is also someone that's in her 60s. For heart, which she has no heart problems as she knows of, but just to keep her heart healthy, is walking the best thing for her to be doing?
I think walking is extremely healthy and natural. Walking and running are things that our bodies were made and equipped to be able to do for long periods of time in our lifespans. So yeah, I think walking is a wonderful option. My encouragement to her would be to, if she wants to get more out of it, that she can try to very carefully power walk for periods of time and then slow down. The one thing that I'll kind of warn people about with power walking out there, people who like to do it, is just make it about keeping a brisk pace and keeping your arms involved rather than overstriding and striking your heel really heavy into the ground, because that does tend to send a lot of force up into your joints and make people more uncomfortable because of the impact into the joints rather than using the muscles as well as they can be used. So that's something to think about. But just simple things, you know, 2 minutes of faster walking, or if you are a runner or running and slowing down. Something I like doing is listening to, if I'm out walking, I like listening to audiobooks. So that's like just a nice way to like get outside and also physically get out and get your mind in a different space, get it into a place where you can listen to a good story and be entertained and enjoy the relief that you know, free mental space and different mentality can bring. And with running, you know, you can just listen to some of your favorite songs and speed up your pace a little bit on the chorus, because the choruses tend to be really upbeat and, you know, push and kind of take up the tempo a little bit. And they're usually anywhere like 20 to 45 seconds long. So that's a great little chance to boost up your speed to your favorite song's chorus and then slow it down on the refrains and do that for a couple of songs. And you'll probably, you know, start to feel your heart going a little bit. And it's such a good feeling, you know, when it's used for exercise instead of anxiety, our heart rate going up, it's very invigorating and can bring a lot of good health.
It just brings a lot of hope too, doesn't it? There's nothing like, you know, in the times when I feel the most stress and the most worry, you know, I can go out, I can strap on my tennis shoes and either go for a brisk walk or I call it a slog, slow jog.
Yeah.
But you know, the main thing is we really just have to, I used to run a lot more than I do now. And I remember talking to you about this. I remember you saying that, wait a minute, you know, some of that's good, but not too much. And I remember really taking that, you know, really listening to that. And so I think for our listeners, it really is about listening to your body, isn't it? And if you start to hurt or feel something, you know, just kind of back off a little bit. But don't stop. Keep doing something.
Exactly. Exactly. And something that I would encourage everybody out there to do at the end of any workout, be it, you know, going on a hike or a walk or run outside, or doing an exercise in your home with your weights or a band or whatever it is that you have, or even on your mat. There's a reason that yoga classes end with a vinyasa, gosh, I can't even think of the word right now. This is awful. I'm having this like blank moment, but they end with a moment of rest and Shavasana. There we go.
There you go.
I should have this more on the edge of my tongue, but anyway. So they end with a Shavasana, and that's a period of rest and a period of reconnecting with our breath. And I think that, you know, to take that as an example, going from our sympathetic nervous system getting activated, so our heart rate's going up, sweating, our adrenaline is going, even women, testosterone gets involved for men and women with exercise. And going from that state where we're kind of enjoying the fight or flight aspect,
yeah,
and we're really revved, yeah, up in our nervous system, and then slowing it down at the end and making sure that we have a few minutes at the end of any formal exercise to just slow down, tap into that parasympathetic nervous system that helps us reduce the adrenal drive. It helps us calm our heart rate. It has all sorts of restorative, powerful properties to it. And connecting with our breath, letting our bodies calm down, and practicing that not just to keep from staying in this over hyper state, but also to get in the practice of training our bodies, not just to enjoy working out, but to calm down, because that's something that we all are going to have to challenge ourselves to do in these times. We're going to have to figure out, how do I go from my heart racing when I see too many headlines that are overwhelming me and that I have no control, mm-hmm, over besides just stay in my home? How do we go from that to calming down? And this is something that we can do in conjunction with prayer, before or after prayer, separate from prayer. It's this beautiful thing that God gave us, is the power of our breath. And there are all sorts of different ways that we can engage that. There are also tons of apps that help you to do breathing exercises or different meditations and things. And you can even do a simple form of a meditation. It's called a loving kindness meditation. And this is a way of like really being positive. So you repeat a positive phrase about yourself while you're slowly breathing and trying to just stay calm. You can have your eyes closed, whatever position is comfortable. So you repeat that positive phrase about yourself, and then you start repeating it about people around you that you love, and then start repeating it about somebody that maybe challenges you, and keep that positive phrase going, applying it to somebody that, you know, you're in conflict with potentially, and then start, keep circling it out with a wider and wider radius so that it starts applying to your city, your state, your country, the world, on and on. And I think that that's a really powerful form of meditation that really translates well into the prayer space, and has a lot of power right now. Is you know, you could start by saying like, I am strong and healthy and capable, or you could say, mm-hmm, my body has all the healing powers that it needs, or my body, mm-hmm, is armored with the strength of God. And, you know, whatever it is, and say that about yourself, and then allow it, like I said, sort of to slowly go out and apply to others, including your enemies, so to speak, and including strangers. And I think that's a really wonderful way to start kind of sending some powerful energy out from yourself and creating that light within yourself that we talked about at the beginning of the show.
That is so beautiful. I just love, you know, I'm sitting here visualizing that, and to our listeners, I'm thinking, how empowering that is to take your mind back. You know, the Bible tells us to not to conform to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. What a beautiful way to renew our mind is to get our minds on that which is kind and that what
which is helpful that Paul also speaks about in the Bible. So what a beautiful thing, and to remember that it starts within you. And so many times we can think positive about everyone else, but I love what Maggie said. Let it start with you. Let it begin with you. And I love the fact of what you said, that God has put everything in my body that I need. It's stronger. It can heal itself. And, you know, so many times we feel so weak, but really the Bible says in our weakness that God is our strength. So we are stronger than we know, and we can call upon that strength and utilize our body to keep it strong. Maggie, we only have 10 minutes left. I told you, I knew this time was going to fly by. So let me tell you,
we can keep going for hours at this rate, right?
I know, and we do need to come back and do this, because we didn't even really get to what we had planned on talking about.
Right, but I
do want to hit on this a little bit, because I do believe that that there are people. So I want to touch on something personal with you, and then secondly, before we end, I want to make sure that people know how to reach out to you. And
sure.
I want you to talk about your blog and some different ways that people can follow you. But one of the things that I want to end on, to bring it back more personal, I want to thank you for giving us so much professional information, and you can tell that you have spent your life studying this and that you truly are engaged in it and that it truly is your passion. But it wasn't always like that. You talk about how you lost your focus for a bit and how that mm-hmm. almost ruined your life, and you had to use the lack of focus to bring you back to a focus to find your inner wellness. Maggie, I mm-hmm. believe there are a lot of people who are listening to us right now that were on the verge of depression before all of this started, and they're thinking, oh, my gosh, my life is not anything like the way I want it to be. How did I get here? Why am I not doing more? Why am I not doing what God called me to do? Why am I not? And so they're just this spiral of misfocus of just thinking about things that really are not going to help them heal and get to where they want to go. So for those people, and there are many of us, I'm sure, I was there many years ago. It was the discouragement and what I call a spiritual breakdown that really helped me to get to where I needed to be able to look up and reorganize and refocus my life. For those people that find themselves in the same situation that you found yourself, what would you say to them would be the first thing to really start life anew right now in the midst of this crisis? What would you say to them in 3 or 4 minutes that would help them to realize that where they are is not the end? It truly could be a new beginning, like you found in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. So to give people a very quick background on what Kim is talking about, when I entered into the fitness industry for the first time, it was almost 15 years ago, and it was right before the Great Recession happened. And I was in a 100% commission-based job, and the recession hit, and I was working in Washington, in the heart of Washington, D.C., and it was a pretty terrifying experience to be on a 100% commission-based job and wondering, how am I going to earn a living right now? And I was also dealing with a lot of distortions of what should my body be as a fitness professional, and putting all this undue pressure on myself about that. And then right when I was spiraling and thinking that I was at my worst, oh, guess what? Guess what happened? It got worse, and I was hit by a car while I was biking to work one day. And I look back on that time of hitting rock bottom, getting depressed, losing my physical fitness as a fitness professional, being in extreme pain going through my job every single day, struggling to make ends meet because I was in a commission-based job, and working put me into pain, but I had to work in order to make money. And it was a really, really trying, dark time. And the thing that got me through that, and that I hope can get people through what they're going through, is that I realized, well, for starters, I started taking better care of my body and trying to heal it. So, of course, there was that mm-hmm. component. But I realized that the biggest opportunities are when we are at our breaking point. They're not when we're on the spiritual high horse. They're in the lows. Mm-hmm. That is when God is there for us. He's there for us all the time, of course. But, like, that is when He's calling us to see something bigger. These are growth opportunities. When we are pushed, when we are feeling overwhelmed, when we're feeling depressed, these are growth opportunities for us to find, first and foremost, you know, find resources to help us and to lean into God and grow our faith. So, you know, I'm not discounting the wonderful things that mental wellness professionals can give us or counselors, because they might be really important for somebody. And thank goodness, you know, praise God that we can connect with them virtually in this day and age. So people who are depressed or needing help can find that mental, those mental health resources very easily, actually. But, you know, in a different note with our faith, you know, this is really when we can go so far. And I love the analogy I heard one time in church about a bow and arrow and the arrow getting pulled back by the bow, and it has to go backwards before it's released. And it can go so much farther forward than if it's just an arrow sitting there on the ground. So we are all given these moments in life. And right now we're given them as a global community where we are getting pulled back by that bow. And it feels like we are backtracking. Our economies are crashing. You know, our jobs are in jeopardy. Our health is in jeopardy. We are all in this fear panic state, but just hold on to that hope, because God is giving us this moment right now in all of human history. This is a moment. It's a pivotal moment, and we can do a lot of different things with it. And when we find his strength in it, he is going to make sure that maybe not tomorrow, maybe not even in a few weeks, but sometime he will make sure that this moment in time doesn't just keep us going backwards and backwards and backwards. It is going to release and catapult us so much farther forward than we could ever imagine. And there will be outcomes. We just can't, positive outcomes. We just can't see that right now because we don't have his eyes and his timing. So hold on to that hope.
Absolutely. So beautifully said. Beautifully said. And I think that you're so right. I believe that, you know, in lots of ways, Maggie, maybe this is bringing us back to time with our family. Maybe it's bringing us back to, you know, a strong faith. Maybe it's helping us see where our strength really is. And maybe it's helping us to, you know, refocus on our lives and say, is this, am I in the right field? Am I doing, you know, what I really want to do? So I think you're so right. I think there's so many positives if we stay positive and do some of the things that you just shared with us today. I just thank you so much for being with us. Before we conclude today, I know that many in our audience would love to know how to follow you, how to contact you, how to be a part of your blog. So would you take a couple minutes and tell them how they can connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be more than happy to talk to people individually as I can. I have two little kids at home, so if I don't get back to you right away, I promise I will. But my website that you can find me on and find ways to connect with me on is www.wellnesswinz.com. Wellnesswinz.com. My last name's Winsler, so hence we have the W-I-N-Z, wellnesswinz.com.
Yes.
And you can find my contact page on there. You can find different services I have on there if that's something of interest, if you have more specific needs. And I'm going to try to, you know, keep posting about things. I'll try to post the podcast version of this audio segment today on there so that you can listen to it if there's anything that you missed in terms of the resources that I spoke to. And believe me when I say I have dozens more resources that I could go on and on about, but those are just a few. So, you know, I want to make sure that I am giving in this time, so I will do my best to answer emails and to provide as much support as I can, whether formally through sessions or just through a quick email, because I know we all have to do our part right now and have to be there for each other. And just a caveat, you know, real quick, the website is more geared towards women, but you know, men who are interested in more help or talking, I promise, even if my website is geared towards a more feminine look and whatnot, I have just as much experience training men, if not more so. So take heart in that. I've worked with people of all different ages, people going through chemo and radiation, people with heart disease, people coming off of major surgeries, you know, people with missing limbs. I mean, you name it. Like I've seen almost everything under the sun, I feel like, and young, healthy people who are in their 20s trying to run their first marathon, or qualify for the Boston. So I've seen it all. And I really take a lot of, joy and passion in working with a large range of individuals, and helping with lots of different kinds of movement, because it's all healthy and it's all great for our bodies and our souls.
And you can hear that, and I can definitely tell that it's your passion. Again, Maggie, I thank you so much. And remember, Maggie is a fitness professional. She has 15 years of experience.
Her Wellness with Wins blog has been featured on major media outlets such as the Drudge Report, the Washington Examiner, on NBC News, and we could go on and on and on. And I just thank you for taking the time today to be with us, and I know you have offered so much hope. Let's do it again sometime, Maggie. Thank you again so
Sounds
much.
Sounds great. Thank you for having
Absolutely.
Me, and stay well, everybody.
Absolutely. Thank you. And friends, as we conclude today's coffee, I'd like to just remind you that while our nation and our world truly has reason to be concerned by the coronavirus that stalks the human family, we must also learn to exercise and to deal with this newness that we have. Learn how to move. Learn how to get out there and be wise, to move around and realize that social distancing doesn't mean that we can't still be social. Find your way to make connections. Listen to the radio. Listen to the blogs. Get on your social media and make contacts. Write letters. Send notes. There's so many things that we can do. That is so important. Get out there and move your body. Remember, this can be, this should be our time to shine, that we can truly remember the promise of 1 Peter 5:7, that we can cast off our anxiety on him because he truly does care for us. So we can cast off, be comforted, and carry on, because this is the day the Lord has made, and he has given us opportunities. So let's just repurpose, stay strong. We will get through what we are going through. So thank you again for joining me. I pray that the conversation that we had today, that you will carry on with friends in your sphere and keep them encouraged. Until next time, keep the conversation going, friends. This is Kim Crable. Thank you so much for joining us today. Bye, everybody.
To learn more about Kim's books, teaching materials, or to invite Kim to speak at your event, please visit KimCrable.com. Thank you for joining us today. And remember, to learn more, please visit KimCrable.com.